Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is November 1st, 2018.
Oops, 15. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that is the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of the shofar? You need to heed the warning and get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. And I will inform you that with my cell phone, I made that mistake of getting filling out a
sweepstakes, a publisher's clearinghouse thing.
Right, and so I have been harassed. You wouldn't believe with phone calls.
Never ending. Even if you go on the no call list, they still call you.
Yeah, even my phone, I hit skip and they change one number and they come back with the same thing. So they got it down pat. And then I get that other crazy one that it's one or two things. It's either you're under investigation by the IRS. Better call back and give us money. Or this is Microsoft. We are going to shut your Microsoft account down if you don't call us. Both of them are up in life. So anyway, with my cell phone number, I wish this. If you don't get me, send me a text, and I'll know that it's a valid number, and I'll call you back. So, boom, what's the phone numbers?
The phone number at the house is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, and his emergency cell phone is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886.
Well, you do that slower than I do. Anyway, you can always find updates to the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, Altar Ministry Hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. And now remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube Live right now and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. So, on another note, what are we doing now?
Let's thank our listener base in worldwide in places like
Acura,
Guyana, Perth, Australia, Paris, France, Stockholm, Sweden, and, of course, the cities of the good old USA, such as New York, Santa Ana, California, Newark, New Jersey, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners in our radio programs when they podcast later tonight.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, that fascinates me. And for as many people that listen to us in Wichita, I rarely hear out of any of them, which is amazing. And the second city that always comes in second, not always, but most of the time, is Washington, D.C. That's what I was going to say. But it's probably the CIA and the FBI and all them people over there listening.
Tapping in on you.
Yeah, you know.
On your freedom of speech?
Well, they just want to listen to your wonderful voice, you know. Anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter. That would be Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. You can find us on Twitter. Come over there and sign up right now. Most of the stuff is just going around. People are trying to get more and more people for Trump on there. But anyway, but we do post some important things on it. So follow us and share us on Twitter. Now, a prayer, and then we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I ask you, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, and not my will, Father, or my wife's will, but, Father, just bless this program tonight. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. In your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, I'm glad you're back with me. You were supposed to be on a Mega Man with us last night.
Yeah, it just so happened that my oldest son got married Saturday, and I came home from church Friday, sicker than the you-know-who. And then Saturday, I couldn't get a sentence out because my voice was fading in and out. And then Sunday, it was no voice, and Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and here I am, still sick.
Well, all of us got it a little bit. In fact, a Mega Man said last night that he now owns a share in Kleenex because of all the Kleenexes he's went through.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so you hear me coughing and my son's coughing, but we're still here to talk to you tonight.
I'm cheap. I just grab an old Walmart trash bag and a roll of toilet paper and head to bed.
You mean you blow your nose on a Walmart trash bag?
No, on the toilet paper.
Oh, okay. Well,
bag to put the germy toilet papers in. I hate people that just blow their nose and throw the stuff everywhere and spread the germs where everybody can get sick.
Really? Well, anyway, but I think we're coming out of it, so we can go in with Thanksgiving next week. But we'll talk about that. Maybe you want to talk about Thanksgiving first or later? Anyway, we'll go ahead and we'll probably go into Thanksgiving first, and then I have some really miraculous things to tell you. But if I tell you about Thanksgiving first, you might not stick around for them. So let's do this. We'll do this story first. Okay. Mom, read this.
We're totally unscathed.
Scathed.
Pastor recalls miraculous wildfire survival despite church group being surrounded by raging inferno.
Yeah, now we're talking about, this article is talking about the fires in California. Now, before we read this, I bring her on first just so she can read, right? Okay. Here is another thing. Now, we've talked about Dimitri Gudeman a lot. In fact, Stan Johnson was on the other previous program, talked a little bit about Dimitri Gudeman, and we brought it up many times. So, folks, if you don't know who Dimitri Gudeman is, he delivered a message to America. And there's pages of it. I'll send you a link to it. But this is part of one of the messages that the angel told Dimitri Gudeman. So read this a little bit, and then we'll read that article.
Okay. What will you do with the church of the Lord? How will you save them, the ones that will turn toward you? I asked. He said, tell them this. How I saved the three young ones from the furnace of the fire is how I will save, and how I saved Daniel in the lion's den is the same way that I will save them.
So, amen. So, you know, Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego were saved in the fiery furnace, you know, and we saw I believe it was Yeshua we saw walking around in there. So now, here we have these dramatic fires in California. And, you know, folks, I don't go along with the thing that it was particle beams and all that started it. You really need to get away from those conspiracy theories, because if it was and it was by the government or something like that, it sure wouldn't have been California that they did it to, because that's their liberal stronghold. But anyway, it doesn't matter whether you think it's particle beams or whatever. The fires are just devastating. In fact, so now during and these fires just pop up instantly, you know, when they get there. People say, well, how could the fires go so hard? Well, they're being fueled by what they call devil wind fires. Now, you know what some people out there, you know what a forge is. A forge is a fire that, you know, you see those old blacksmiths, you know, pumping a thing, you know, where it blows oxygen and fire, oxygen onto the fire, and it causes the fire to rage and get really hot. Well, these the Santa Ana winds for this time of year, it's what's fueling the fire. They're blowing on them, and it's making them just pop up like that because the wind is carrying the fire so much. So this is what happened. Go ahead and read this.
A Northern California pastor has recalled the dramatic moments he and a small group of his church members made a miraculous escape from a raging inferno that has gripped huge swathes of the West Coast state.
Skip the link. Go ahead.
Doug Crowder, pastor of Magalia Pines Baptist Church, risked his life to save others as he gathered up 30 desperate residents and four church members, helping them take refuge at the church building. But as the group loaded up into the convoy of vehicles and attempted to escape the clutches of the monstrous fire, the whole place exploded, according to Pastor Crowder. We were in the driveway planning to leave, he told Baptist Press, choked up with tears, and the entire world erupted. The woods exploded, Crowder continued. The Subway restaurant across the street exploded, and all sides of us was on fire. Now, with nowhere to turn, the group sprinted back inside the church building, huddled together and prayed. With the roaring sound of flames ripping through buildings and the defeating blast of propane canisters detonating at the neighboring hardware store, the group cried out to God for protection, and quite simply, he answered. Despite the fury of the wildfire, the church building remained unscathed, and the group huddled inside endured the entire night without suffering any injury whatsoever. Wow.
Okay.
I got to take a break a minute
okay.
here.
Well,
that's breathtaking.
I'll pick on to, he goes on and says, we were totally unscathed, totally, Crowder said, adding that the fall leaves were still on the trees on the church property. Staggeringly, despite the entire town being leveled to the ground, the church remained standing. It will now become a beacon of hope as this small town community attempts to rebuild from the ashes. It will be years before it's a town again, Crowder said. But all through that, our church will be standing, and our church will be ministering. The campfire, because it's named after the origin of the blaze in Camp Creek, California, has become the deadliest in the state's history. The statewide death toll has now risen to 44, according to the sheriff of Duke County, but now it's up to like 56, I read today. The campfire has decimated more than 117,000.
Right? Yeah, 117,000 acres in Northern California, and has destroyed more than 7,000 structures inside 6,454 single-family residents, according to CNN.
No joke.
Okay. Well, we'll kind of go over that. In Southern California, an additional 57,000 structures are under threat as the Woolsey Fire continues to raise. The blaze has now scorched more than 93,000 acres and has caused the death of two people.
Right.
Pray for all those affected by this dreadful natural disaster.
Right. And, you know, I do not believe that it's particle beams and all that.
I don't know. I haven't heard any of that. So.
Well,
I've been sick.
We're not even going to go down that path. And I haven't even posted anything about this because that's just craziness. But what we do know, it is from mismanagement. You know, these liberals, there was actually a bill that came up through California. It was a law, and their governor, Jerry Brown, vetoed it. And it was to clean up all the brush and all that to manage the forest. But because the environmentalists think you should just leave it alone.
Yeah, and that's what happened up there where Frank's at. Leave it alone, and that made the fires worse.
Well, right, and that's the whole thing, because environmentalists are all over that country. But when you put all that dead wood falls to the ground, you know, that's
fuel for the fire.
That's fuel for the fire. And it is nature's way of cleansing the forest, because, you know, that's what it does, is when it burns out, then it cleans things up to where new can come in.
Yeah.
Right. But if we do it ourselves, then it can be controlled. And then if there is a fire, like there's always been and always is in the forest, then they can.
They're more easily put out
right.
than they
well,
are. When,
and because
yeah.
there's places for fire breaks, you know.
Because the maintenance
like
has
that.
Been done.
But the maintenance hasn't been done. But yet they blow all this money on aliens. Now, here's another thing. What a norovirus is, you know? It's a really bad virus, you know, cold like thing or whatever.
Better not be what I have.
No, it isn't. But some of these people that are in tents over there, in camps, you know, there's shelters, and the shelters are the people getting sick from norovirus. So the people that escaped the fires You know, and a lot of them are, these are like the Woosley Fire. That's a really super rich neighborhood, you know, that is Hollywood. You know, in fact, they were talking about how the MASH set, you know, where they filmed MASH at, mm-hmm. it was completely burned up. And, you know, there's been Miley Cyrus, for one, and a whole bunch of different ones lost their home and everything. And you know, you can't help but wonder with this place being pointed out as being Sodom and Gomorrah and all the garbage is coming from them, especially Hollywood, if this isn't just not allowed by the father or some kind of a punishment. But I'm not the father, and I can't put words in his mouth. I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord.
That's a theory.
It's just one of those theories. That's right. That is right. And, you know, the reason I'm that way is because I fear the Lord. You know, and a lot of people, just like we teach the grandkids, they're all memorizing their Ten Commandments every week.
Well, they got them memorized, and then now they know the Lord's Prayer, but I'm yet to see them say it without. It's one thing to say it with everybody. They can say it perfectly. But now where the test comes in is if they can say it on their own by themselves, when that's their new memorization thing. But they should be able to.
Okay. And it says, you know, one of the commandments is thou shalt not take the Lord Yahweh's name in vain. Now, a lot of people, you know what, if you ask a general person on the street, it'd be interesting to go out with a microphone. Maybe we'll do that sometime and ask everybody, say, hey, you know, what's this commandment mean? Most of them will say, well, you're not supposed to say, gee, damn it. What?
Oh, it's way more than that.
Well, give them the reality of it.
Saying God said something and God told you to do something when you're not 100% sure that he did, then that's using the God Lord's name in vain.
Right.
Thus saith the Lord when the Lord didn't say it is taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, and you know, that also goes to say that, you know, while we have the Holy Spirit in us, and I believe it leads us to all truth, you know, I know sometimes when the Father is speaking to me and usually pointing out when I'm an idiot, be quiet.
He must talk to you 24 hours a day.
I knew she was going to say that. That ain't right, folks.
I love you, honey.
Say goodbye, Mom. You know, that ain't right. This is, you know, I started this radio program
a long time ago.
Yeah, you still love me because you abused me.
Oh, I don't abuse you. Let's go on with the radio.
Okay, on with the radio program. Anyway, and so people say, thus saith the Lord, you know, and it isn't, and that's a really, really bad thing. But anyway, so needless to say, California is a mess. But here is a miracle. I will say this: this sure looks like a miracle.
Is a miracle.
You know, I really believe so. You know, and of course, again, I can't say thus saith the Father, but it sure looks like it. And you know, amen. So that's a big witness. But let me tell you how bad this fire is. This Californian fire is now blocking out the sun in California and lowering the temperature by 10 degrees. Well, of course, if you block out the sun, what heat?
Oh, well, because the fire would make up for that, you'd think.
Not after the fire goes away. I mean, the fire can only burn in one area so long as it spreads, you know what I'm saying? So the fire goes, it's lowering the temperature by 10 degrees.
So the smoke is blocking the sun.
The smoke is blocking the sun. That's the point. The sun can't get through, and that's how bad it is. And, you know, so it's now burned. Now, see, that's where it says it's now claimed at least 56 lives, and it is 40% contained. Now, they're talking about how next week, that still gives 3 or 4 days for the fire to rage, but we're talking about that they've got some rain on the way. So, amen, you know, because the fires are still burning.
Yeah, it said the people in Chico and Gritty venture outside without a surgical-grade respirator are putting themselves in danger.
Yeah.
That's according to Bloomberg.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's the air is just terrible there. And so even this article, it's even giving, you know, showing, but look at here at all the different fires. This is dramatic. And this is where it is. This is where San Francisco is. This is Los Angeles. This and right there, L.A., Woosley, that's that neighborhood. But it's really bad. It's really bad.
They called it the campfire because it's in the wooded area? Is that
no, because I thought that, too. I was thinking all along that it was started by somebody's campfire, but it wasn't. It started in a place.
That's the city called Campfire?
Right. It says it right here, there are many, from is Griptown, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it's because the town that it started at is called Campfire, and so they're calling us Campfire Blaze. So anyway, we need to pray for the folks, absolutely. We need to pray for the folks that are there, and, praise the Father for the miracle of the church, and, I believe it to be a miracle. I can't prove it. But I would venture to say that yes, indeed it is. Well, we got about 2 minutes before break. I'll read this one real fast because I want to add this on. People are worried about how to be safe in the tribulation, but here's another thing from Dimitri Dudeman, and this was on December 9th, 1993. Many of those who sit neglectful and loving the world and the things of the world, many seek life of the earth, but they do not prepare themselves to meet the Holy One. Yeshua is coming. Do not be lazy. Terror and great pain is coming upon the earth. The devil will take upon himself power, and he will attempt to make war with the holy. But Christ, the victorious, the one will come and will save his people. Proud men, all those who pretend to be teachers, yet never living the life, all those who say they worship me, yet their hearts are far from me, says the Lord. I will make them part of the suffering torment, the terror, so they will call upon me. But I will not answer. To those that today humble themselves and seek me with a clean heart, and that day, the hard day, will be glad and rejoice. The power of the devil will increase greatly in this country, talking about the United States. And many Christians will fall in its chains because they have dishonored me with their lives and their pride, their arrogance, and their vanity, thinking they are holy and worshiping me, but never really worshiping me. The winds and the storms that will begin against the Christians in this country will take many. Those who remain standing will be very few. Humble yourselves. Be holy. Seek me more than ever, kneeling before me often. In the hard days, I may save you, says the Lord. And that's an excerpt from Dreams and Visions from God. Amen. Well, folks, go over and check us out at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Check us out. You can find out about our church and everything. And we're just having kind of a relaxed program tonight. I can't wait to get back and talk to you. We're going to talk to you about Thanksgiving. And we may even let Frank come in and say happy Thanksgiving to our listeners, So, but we'll be back in three minutes. 3 minutes, really? Yeah, Frank's hurries.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I want to remind you that we're not going to be around here next week for because it's Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, I'll be living at Messiah's Ranch Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Okay. Well, before we get into that, I want to point this out. So there will be no radio next week, folks. But when we come back the next week, at this same hour, at the 7 p.m. Mark, that's Central Time, not like Frank's time, which is like 3 p.m. or no, 7 p.m. It'd be at 5 p.m. right now. I think Frank right now is about 5:30 right now over there in Oregon. But Joel Richardson, that's at joelstrumpet.com. He's going to be coming on and talking about, we're not going to talk about the real Mount Sinai, but another book that he did. But Joel Richardson will be with me the week after Thanksgiving. Now, the week after Thanksgiving, are you going to be at the food bank? But that'll be the you'll be here, right?
Right.
For the first program at 5 p.m., and so we can talk about a lot of different things. And by the way, if the I'll have a subject that you'd like my wife and I to cover, or you'd like to just talk to her about, and do this too. We can even maybe even do a call-in line if you want and talk to her. It really amazes how many, a lot of people like you, and it's more women. I noticed last night when I was on the program with the Mega Man that he had a chat thing on, and I was scrolling down looking at some of the chat subjects, and there was people asking about you, you know. That's just not right. I've been on radio all these years, and they're asking about you. That's just, folks, that's just not right.
I'm just lovable.
Lovable. Boy, they just don't know you real well, do they? No.
Well, evidently so. You've been with me 33 years, so.
Yeah, well, but, okay, we won't go through all that. Anyway, moving right along, people don't want to hear about us. So, Thanksgiving. Where do we start? Okay, let's go with this. First off, you know, I want to talk about, I want to tell you what happened, the people what happened. I told you about it at the Mission Church the other day. When I came in the back door, and there's this woman, and, you know, she is got hit by, and this happens so often in Wichita. You wouldn't believe how many homeless people, get, when they have bikes, they get hit on bikes, and the cars never seem to never stop.
Right, but, and then they just say, well, you shouldn't have been in the street.
Well, but that's where they're supposed to be, is in the street, because even now the city of Wichita has
a bike path.
Yeah, right down the street. In fact, they took up a lane in most streets, you know, for the bicycles right in the street and painted on them. So anyway, so she'd been hit, and her leg has never healed up. She has one of those strap-on braces that goes, like, right above her ankle to right above her knee. And, you know, she doesn't
bring
walk.
Me. I'm going to look into those for me.
Okay, well, anyway, point is, I don't know how bendable anything is, but moving on with the story, she dragged him one around and everything, and so I came in, and she was washing the walls off, you know, in that area right there by the phone booth, that hallway with a bench in it, with that old church bench in it, anyway, and so she was wiping down the walls, and I went in there, and I started to say something to Craig, but he brought it up first. He said, you see her out there? And I said, yeah. And I said, what's up with that? You know, why is she washing the walls? You know, I mean, like, you know, jokingly, are you forcing her to wash the walls, Craig? But I didn't say that, but it's kind of what I thought jokingly. But then he went on to say, he said, well, I've seen her doing it. And so I went out there and asked her, you know, I couldn't stop her, because, and that's the thing, you know, that's me too. I don't want her out there having to wash the walls and everything, but, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, I just wouldn't want her to do it naturally. But you don't kill somebody's blessing. She's doing it out of appreciation for the safe place and everything that the Father gives us through there. So she's doing it out of appreciation. So, and Craig, instead of stopping her, you know, Craig, not Frank. Frank's kind of a hard butt too, but anyway, Craig made her some hot soapy water and gave her a rag, and she proceeded to wipe down that whole hallway area before all the rest of the people got in there. And, you know, it was just such a blessing. That's how much they care for the place. And then I got a witness too. Then Craig says, you know, and you know who was helping put donuts up in the window? Darcy's old man. I didn't think that little
cowboy. No, not cowboy. I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
the little short guy, the one that Darcy abuses.
Yeah,
jokingly, but not. Darcy is our next door neighbor. Anyway, but and this is a poor neighborhood, so you know. Anyway, point is he was putting donuts in the window, and that kind of shocked me. Because I didn't ever think, you know, his grumpiness, I didn't think he'd ever help do
anything.
They've
helped quite a bit. Quite a few times they step in and help clean up trash and stack chairs and stuff when I don't have any.
Well, I've just never specifically seen him do it, I guess. But anyway, point being was, it was also a praise report because Craig said he went out there and he said, all right, who wants to help today? And he said he had a bunch of hands go up to want to help, you know, to do something. But he got his hand up first, so. Craig allowed him to put the donuts in the window. And so that was a real, it just shows you that they do appreciate And the biggest thing I think they, one of the things that I think they appreciate the most is that it's a safe place, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I told Craig, if nobody shows up to want to help, just go out there and ask them. You'll get more help than you need. Every time, it doesn't matter. You go out there and say, hey, I need help. They're more than willing to jump up.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but a big percent of them.
Yeah, amen, amen. And they do. They appreciate it. And so, you know, and they call us mom and dad, and you know, we just try to give them, try to get their mind off the street for a while, and but they, we do a lot of things for them. You know, we give prayers, you know, and I've seen so many miracle prayers happen over there, those prayers that they've asked. We've seen, you know, that one girl, remember her, that she had the brain thing, and she ended up not getting operated on because we prayed on her. That, you remember that girl?
I think so. It went away, right?
Yeah, it went away. Before they, she went back, she was supposed to get an operation, and it was gone.
Yeah,
and
that's like the quadruple bypass heart surgery Linda was supposed to have when I talked her into coming to church, and we prayed her in prayer circle, and she felt a cold or warm. It was a warm rush through her whole body, and then when she went Monday, they said, "What are you doing here? Your heart's perfectly fine." She didn't. There wasn't anything wrong with her heart anymore.
She came back later and got another prayer.
And then she, about 4 years later, she got lung cancer from smoking cigarettes, and she wanted us to pray for that. So we prayed that, and it went away too. She still was. She got 3 grandkids now.
Yeah, amen, amen. And so, you know, and that's what we mean by miracle prayers, friend. You know, and they have the faith to believe it. And I've seen lots of other instances of, you know, miracle prayers over the years, and people's lives changed. And things, and so, you know, those are the kind of things that we do. And, you know, Bibles, it really does amaze me how many Bibles we give away. I just can't.
We've given away lots of Bibles.
Oh, yeah, over thousands and thousands of them over. You remember, this is our 19th year. We give away thousands and thousands of Bibles, mostly King James Version and mostly large print Bibles, because, you know, their eyesight's not that good, and the larger the print, the easier it is for them to read it, you know, because they need some glasses. But so, folks, there's another thing. You can send in reading glasses, large print King James Bibles, if you know, or send in, I'll take any kind of King James Version Bible, but it will go either one. I'm just trying to get something easier for them to read. But anyway, yeah, we won't be around here on Thanksgiving. I wonder if Frank's going to be doing radio on Thanksgiving. Frank, are you still there, or are you just hiding?
I'm on vacation on the, you know, the Riviera. Of course I'm here.
Of course he's there. He's got to keep an eye on you for
me. He was ready to pounce.
I've got no.
I should say he's got to keep an ear on you for me,
right,
because he can't see you.
That ain't right.
Well, that's what you say, but you know, we weren't to tell them about, you know, the camera.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
I'm not going to be here. Nobody's going to be doing any radio on Thursday unless they are doing it somewhere else, because I'm not going to be here. You know, anybody has the opportunity to send in a, you know, if they really want to have a new show for Thanksgiving, they can do a pre-recorded show, and I'll set that up in the playlist. But no, I'm not running any, you know, Thanksgiving's always been the holiday that I shut it down, other than, you know, pre-recorded. But I'm not here. Although this year I have started, because I'm old now.
Oh, really?
That's right. And
if you're only in your 50s or 60s, you're still a young chick.
Yeah.
A young what?
A what?
A young, you're a, not
Linda's
a chick.
Been
you're
watching
a,
the
you're
news
old, you're
too
not,
much.
Oh, whoops, I got the wrong one there. I'm not liberal, really. Don't get the wrong. I'm
she's gender confused
me.
Over there, Dan. What's going on?
You know,
thing is, okay, this year I started saying, hey, you know what? I'm taking every holiday off there is. You know,
yeah,
I'll be like a school teacher.
Well, you know, that content-wise, you know, you can, like they say, you give the host if they want to send a pre-recorded program. I don't do pre-recording. It's a disaster. I can't
you tried.
And talk to myself, but yeah,
you
I didn't
did
like
try.
It. Yeah, I won't try again.
It just didn't work out that good. But, you know, Live is not the same.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm gonna throw something in here, and you guys can both comment about it. Because you mentioned, you brought up the transgender thing.
I made a misconception.
Listen to this. A Florida school district allowed a self-described transgender female student regular access to the boys' locker room with no advance warning to the boys or their parents. The first time she walked in, she caught the boys literally with their pants down, causing them embarrassment and concern by the fact that they had been observed changing by an obvious girl. Okay, so they told the girl, you're a boy, you can go into the boys' bathroom. Didn't tell anybody about it, didn't tell the parents about it. But then there was a couple people that were concerned, so they said, well, we better have somebody supervised, you know, to watch over the girl, right? Okay, so what did they do? Instead of putting her in a different bathroom and allowing her in the locker room with all these guys with everything hanging out and her hanging out, they told a gym teacher, a PE teacher, a man, you have to go in there and watch her so nobody does anything. And he refused. He said, I'm not going in there and watching a naked young girl. That's just not right. And so he got in all kinds of trouble, and they transferred him to another school. But that is just ill and sickness. I don't care what you say. And that's in Pasco County School District. And that's a Florida school, another place that Dimitri Dudeman, the angel, pointed out as being Sodom and Gomorrah. What do you think about that, Frank?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it's sickness beyond anything we've seen in our lifetime, and it's being treated as normal, and that's really the thing. You know, it's not to say, you know, it's like what I was saying before about, you know, well, if everybody's allowed to lie, then everybody lies. But if you say, well, those people are allowed to lie, but those people aren't, well, they're doing the same thing. I mean, because it's like, look, this kind of behavior, people have always done this. Thousands of years, there's been homosexuals, there's been men dressing as girls, there's been girls dressing like men, but it was never before, at least in this country, glorified and protected and like cherished by, you know, oh, this is such a wonderful thing, we have to protect these freaks, and you know, it's just a really good is bad, bad is good. And, you know, I mean, if this isn't the end times, I don't know what to expect for that if this isn't it.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
The beginning of it.
I believe we're deep into it. I don't think it's reversible. My wife's pointing
out. Yeah, back to this article here. It said in an email, administrator initially threatened to put the male coach on administrative leave, telling that refusing to supervise was a potentially naked female student would not be tolerated. Okay, then it goes on to say the school's other PE teacher, who was female, also objected, and she was ignored. Now, what is that all about?
Well, it's all about that it's their agenda.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the time again, and this is what we can expect. And see, here's my something I touched on, you know, in several programs. I've touched on it a little bit with Stan last time, you know, we really need to pray. And there was in the program I did I did last night on the Mega Man, I talked about this guy, Sundar or something, you know, he's an ex-Hindu, and he calls himself a prophet, and supposedly he had a visitation from the Lord. And saying the same thing that I've been saying all along, that we need to pray. Just because we got Trump doesn't mean that it's over. We've got to still pray. We've got to back him up. And the election showed that it can be taken away from in a minute. What Trump's presidency did do is it showed, it revealed all these people being evil, even to the Democratic head of the Senate, saying they want everybody to vote that's inside of this country, legal, not legal. They're openly saying it. Just like they're openly talking about being transgender and being evil if you're against it and celebrating abortion. All these things are out, you know, in the open, openly saying it's not hidden. So and the word even says that. It talks about how in a time everything evil would come to light. You would be able to see it. But here's my point. So we don't stand up and we don't pray. And he sent out a new bulletin the other day, said everybody needs to pray for Trump. so that he doesn't get taken out of office, because the father basically put it back on us. If we don't pray enough and don't back up the president, then he'll be taken away. And then all of that evil is going to surpass our country. So if the Democrats get back in charge, this is what you're in store for.
Oh, I know. And this is going to get worse.
Right, right. And just unsurmountable. Like Frank just said, you know, evil good and good evil. You know, what do you think, Frank? If the Democrats get back in charge, are we just going to be okay?
Well, if you think blood in the streets is okay, yeah.
Because, blood in the streets.
You know, because that's what I see happening if the Democrats get back in total power. And I don't mean, you know, the day they get elected or anything like that, but eventually, because, I mean, you look at how they are. Okay, they're out in the streets in masks with clubs, lighting places on fire, chasing people down in restaurants. You know, this is how they treat the opposition now when they're the minority. What's going to happen if they get in charge? They're not going to just say, oh, okay, now we can be nice. No. People who hit people with clubs and light stuff on fire and, you know, just are well, Democrats, they don't get nice. Okay, whether they get their way or not, they don't get nice because they are never satisfied because they have the spirit of Satan in them. And that is the thing that Satan is never satisfied. That's the thing, you know, and that's them. No matter what you do, what you concede to them, what you agree with them and try to get along, they will never be satisfied.
Yeah, amen. We'll go throw this out there. You know, I believe that had Hillary been in, all these evil things would have came about. And I believe that there was enough people that, you know, I mean, good people out there that are eventually going to fight back is what I'm saying, you know. And there's the point. And, you know, if the other side fights, couldn't this whole country go to civil war, you know, pretty quickly, or a lot of little fightings, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean an organized civil war, so to speak, but I mean literal fighting in the streets, and that's where I see the blood in the streets, because, you know, I know there's a lot of people, you know, you see them on Facebook or something every once in a while, or they finally say their piece, you know, that they're ready to strike back at these liberals because they're just sick of being pushed around. Back to you.
Well, I kind of have that. I feel that way, too. You know, I mean, I think anybody who gets pushed around, you know, feels that way, too, whether you're, you know, like the old commercials of the 90-pound weakling on the beach who gets sand kicked in his face by the big, you know, muscle-bound guy. You know, I mean, everybody, after a while, you know, says, all right, that's it, that's enough. You know, I can't live like this, so therefore, I'm going to stand up and fight and let the chips fall where they may. Maybe I'll get killed, but I don't care because I can't go on like this. And that's where people need to get pushed to before they seem to do anything. And this is not just me saying this. If you read the Declaration of Independence, they brought
out
the same thing. They said, look, men are more apt to suffer than do anything about it.
Right.
You know, until they can't take it anymore.
Right.
You know, and that's
right.
That's just man's nature. You know, that's who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and a lot of people don't even realize that, you know, even in the War of Independence, you know, the amount of if all the Americans would have stood up and did something, you know, that Revolutionary War wouldn't have lasted any near where it was. But it was really a small group of people that actually fought and freed this country.
I think they said like 3%.
Yeah, it wasn't very many. Yeah, 3%, you're probably pretty close to being right. And I'll throw this out here, something I pointed out to Stan last program. I watched a video today of a guy that went down, and he was tired of hearing all the stories from the caravan. So he went down to see who they were, and he did some interviews down there. And, you know, he said, it was somewhere between 90 and 95% of that whole caravan was all, like Stan said, fighting age male. They weren't, you know, a whole bunch of poor women and children. 5% were women and children. And the other thing that he asked him, he said, well, what is the number one reason why you're here? Most all of them said the same thing. Job, better life, school, better life, but it was all better life. Well, we understand that, but that isn't a that is not the reason for being a refugee to be accepted.
Right. They can't. They got to come here legally.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. If that's going to be the case, then you know, Dan, we need to go out and start robbing banks. You know, for that better life.
Yeah, for
you know?
A better life.
You know, I'm just trying to have a better life. That's all. I don't want to hurt anybody or anything. I just
want
all
that
money.
I just want
the money.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, let's give ourselves a Hispanic name.
That's the same thing they're doing. They're robbing our country. So what's the difference?
Yeah, they are. The first law they break. Go ahead.
I want to ask you guys something, your opinion on this, because I had an idea. Because, you know, we're catching all that the people who want to shut the border are catching a lot of grief over your heartless.
Right.
You hate people, you know, and you just don't want to help anybody. And did I say heartless? Oh, yeah, that. And, you know, that's just you. Well, okay, what if? How do you think this would go over, and what do you think the Democrats could possibly say about this? If Trump said, okay, look, we don't want to be heartless, we don't want to do that, so here's the new rule. Any women and children, you know, children accompanied by women, if the women and children can come in, no men can come into this country unless you do so legally.
What would they?
I mean, how do you say heartless now? Because it's like, now wait a minute. Are you telling me military age men have to come to the United States to hide? I don't think we want those kind of cowards in this country. Come on, yeah, you need to go back down to their own country, and if they don't like it, change it. But okay, women and children, we get that. They can't fight. They're not supposed to fight, and you know, and we'll protect them. But we will not protect the military age men.
Okay. First off, number one, they're fleeing for a better life. They're not fleeing. If they were literally fleeing because their country was executing them and all that kind of thing, well, they're not fleeing for that reason.
No.
So that automatically excludes them. We cannot bring everybody in the world.
If they want to come, they need to come legally, including the women and children. They need to apply.
Right, but he's talking about saying, okay, all the women and children can come in.
No, they need to set them up in tents and have them apply legally.
Here's the point. If you did that, they would oppose it. Because the reason that they would oppose it, number one reason, is because then the women and children that would come into the country would see Trump as merciful. And then they might then therefore vote Republican, and so the left would automatically be against it. I'm for.
But how do they do that, though?
What
I'm saying, I don't. I agree with you. I believe that's true. But I can't fathom. Okay, fine. So they're going to do that. How are they going to sell that to the American people? I mean, here we have women and children. Okay, these are women and children. These are the people that they've been squealing about for years, women and children. And you know, okay, fine, we want
to
help them.
Up for when they came.
But both of you, I got to interrupt because I only got a couple minutes left, and I got to do a last plug for Thanksgiving. Thanks for being on with me, Frank. I love you to death, brother. I'll talk to you right after Thanksgiving. But, folks, really, we still need some while we've got all the turkeys we need or the money for the turkeys, we still need some other things to make up the dinner. You think of anything offhand that we need specific? Mm-hmm. Just odds and ends. Whatever you need for your dinner, we still need for ours. We still need dressings made. We could use bread donations, all kinds of things. So pray about it.
Bread and eggs.
Pray about a donation for Thanksgiving. You can donate online. Or over the phone, or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, we really do need your help to pay radio. I mean, we've got a lot of listeners out there, but, you know, it's always, we have to pay radio airtime. I still have not paid airtime to Frank yet entirely. I just gave him one payment. I need to pay for radio airtime. Pray about supporting airtime. You listen to the radio. If you're listening to it, pray about it. Anyway, my wife's writing something. Just say it. We still need $500?
No, I thought you said we got it.
Oh, well, that's for the final thing.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, so pray about it. So pray about whatever you make the donation for. If you just make a donation, well, then it goes into the general fund. If you want it to go for Thanksgiving, you got to make a note that says Thanksgiving. If you want it to go for radio airtime, you got to make it say radio or just radio on it. So pray about it. We do need your help. We'll see you after Thanksgiving. But you want to say something real quick? You got 15 seconds.
Shalom.
Okay, in other words, goodbye. Okay. We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week.
Shalom. I want to keep saying Shabbat. Maybe I'm ready for Shabbat.
Okay. Anyway, till next week, this is Pastor Dan and Sister Linda saying goodbye and shalom until week after Thanksgiving.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.